This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Transformed. In these lessons, Rick uncovers key principles found in God's Word that will completely transform our lives from the inside out in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. Now, if you could improve in any of these areas I just mentioned, stay with us. Because in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can have your very own transformed study kit from Pastor Rick, which includes a 7-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Facing the Fears That Ruin Relationships.
Now, right now, I want to welcome you to 50 Days of Transformation. And we've been looking at transforming 7 key areas of your life. We looked at your spiritual health. We looked at your physical health. We looked at your mental health. And last week, we looked at emotional health. And this week, I want us to look at relational health, transforming your relationships, how to make your relationships better. I want us to look at diffusing the fears that ruin relationships. And to do that, we're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, and look at the first couple, Adam and Eve, because that's where all the problems started. Thank you, Adam, and thank you, Eve. Now, you know the story that God created the entire universe because he wanted to create Earth, because he wanted to create a sustaining environment for human beings, because God wanted a family. If God had wanted a family, he wouldn't have created the universe. But he made it all because he wants you to be in his family. So he made Adam and he put him in the Garden of Eden, the perfect paradise. And Adam had everything that he could possibly want, except he was lonely. Because he noticed that animals had mates, but there was no mate for Adam. And I think God did this intentionally, two reasons. First, he wanted Adam to realize what he would need in his own life. And second, I think God made Adam and then thought, I could do better. And then he makes woman. Don't worry, I'll get you back. And so God makes Adam out of the dust, out of the dirt of the earth. And he creates Adam out of dirt. Now he creates woman out of Adam. Okay? Now, this, by the way, is why men don't mind getting dirty and women do. Because men are made of dirt, okay? Okay, we were created out of the dirt, so we like dirt. We don't mind getting muddy, messy. But women weren't created out of dirt. The Bible says they were taken from a rib of Adam. Now, there's a symbolism in this, that God created Adam's helpmate, his partner for life, his wife, out of his rib. He didn't take her from his feet, where he would lord over her. He didn't take her from his head where she would lord over him, but he took his wife from his side where he would be his equal, his partner, and he took him from a rib close to the heart as a symbol of she is to be deeply loved. There's a lot more I could say about that, but that's not where we're going this week. But God creates, he puts Adam to sleep, he creates woman, and when Adam wakes up, he sees Eve in her full glory. And Adam wakes up and he's never seen a naked woman before. And he wakes up and he goes, whoa. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Man. Man, oh man. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. Woman. And that's where the word came from, okay? Woman, whoa, man, whoa, man, woman. And things went along really great for a long time between man and woman because there was no sin, so there was no sadness, no sickness, no sorrow, no suffering, no deceit, no lying, no manipulating, no jealousy, none of these things in their relationship. They are the only couple that had a perfect relationship, the only one. Because since sin entered the world, everything else is broken. But then you know the story that Satan comes to Eve and he lies to her. And he says, didn't God say that you can't eat from any of the trees in the garden? And of course, God hadn't said that. God had said you can only eat from one. It's a minimum temptation. Everything else is on limits. Do whatever you want to with it. Just one tree is off limits to give you a choice, because I want you to choose to love me. And then he says, you know, God's lying to you. He said, you know, you're not going to die if you eat that tree, the fruit of that tree. In fact, you'll be as wise as God. You'll be God. Every temptation comes to that basic issue. I want to be God. See, Satan never tempts us to be like himself. He never says, do this temptation, you'll be like me. You'll be evil. Nobody would do it. But Satan says, do this because you know better than God. Because God is old-fashioned. Because God's out of date. God doesn't want you to be happy. You should do this because you know what will make you happy more than God. You're a God. And Eve fell for that line. Now let me read you the story. It's in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll pick up the story about verse 6. So Eve ate some of the fruit, and then she also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate it. Immediately their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. This is where shame enters the world. There'd never been any shame and never any guilt and never any fear prior to this. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover up themselves. And then they heard the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God among the trees. But God called out to Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" And Adam replied, "I heard you coming, and I was afraid." Notice here's fear again. "Because I was naked. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then God asked, "Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Adam said, "You gave me this woman." I'm glad you see the humor in that without me even having to point it out. Adam said, "You gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit. So I ate." Then God said to Eve, "Why did you do this?" Eve replied, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So God said to Eve, "Because you have disobeyed me," in other words, because you didn't do what I told you to do, "there's going to be a curse now. Everything's broken. And one of the things that's going to be broken is childbirth." He said, "You're going to have greater trouble in pregnancy, and you're going to have great pain in childbirth." How many of you are mothers? Can I see your hands? Anybody want to give a testimony on this verse? Okay. You can thank Eve for all that pain. Okay. It says, "You're going to have trouble in pregnancy and great pain in childbirth. And though you'll desire your husband," in other words, you're still going to love your husband, "he's going to lord it over you." In other words, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be domination issues. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be a power struggle in your relationship from now on. And then God said to Adam, "Because you also disobeyed me and you sinned with your wife, the ground you work is now cursed. And though you'll get to eat what you planted, your fields will have weeds and thorns and thistles." So you can thank Adam for all the weeds in the world. "Weeds and thorns and thistles. And for the rest of your life, you'll have to sweat and work hard to get your food until you yourself are returned to the dirt that I used to create you." This is a fascinating story filled with an enormous amount of spiritual truth in it. But I just want to point out the relational truths. Because in this story, we see the three basic fundamental fears that pop up in every single relationship. Now, you can use what we're going to look at today in your small group. You can use it in your marriage. You can use it with a boyfriend or girlfriend. You can use it with friends. You can use it at work. Because these three fundamental fears that started in the first relationship, when sin entered, are still present in your life and in everybody else's life, and they damage and they destroy potential in relationships. Let's get right into it. Number one, the first fear we learn is this. It's the fear of exposure, and it is this. The fear of exposure makes me distant. The fear of exposure makes me distant. Why can't I get close to people? I'd like to be closer to my wife. I'd like to be closer to my husband. I'd like to have that intimacy, that soul, passionate intimacy, partnership. Why can't I get close to the people in my life? Well, my fear of exposure makes me distant. Now, here's the truth. There's a lot in you that you don't like. You don't like it about you. And because you don't like it about you, you certainly don't want anybody else seeing it. And the things that you don't accept about you, you have a fear will not be accepted by others. So you want to keep your distance, because when people get close to you, they can see you warts and all. The closer people get, the more they see your blemishes, the more they see your mistakes, your faults, your failures, your weaknesses. And so we keep people at a distance because of fear of exposure, that people will know what we know about ourselves. And those things you don't like about you, you don't want being shared anywhere else because they might reject it. In verses 9 and 10 of Genesis 3, it says this. God called to Adam, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." Now, let me say a couple things. Whenever God asks you a question like this, and he asks Adam two questions. First, he says, "Where are you?" And "Why were you hiding?" Whenever God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. He wasn't asking those questions for his benefit. He's asking the questions for Adam's benefit because he wants Adam to own up. He wants Adam to man up. He wants Adam to be a man and accept responsibility for the fact that he had run and he was hiding. Any transformation in any area of your life, including relationships, only happens when you own up to the fact that they aren't what they ought to be. And as long as you think, "I got a great marriage, nothing wrong with it," it's not going to get any better. "I got great friendships. It's just fine." As long as you are in denial, there's no recovery, there's no transformation. So it starts with you owning up and being honest to God and honest with yourself that my relationships are not what they could be. They could be a whole lot better than they are right now. Now, I want you to circle on that verse the phrase, "I was afraid and I hid." Because they go together. I was afraid and I hid. Fear always causes us to hide. I wonder what you're hiding from today because of fear. What are you pretending not to know? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your marriage? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? What are you pretending is not a problem in your relationships because you are afraid of facing the truth? God doesn't want you to fake it. He wants you to face it when it comes to fear. What are you pretending not to know? I was afraid and I hid. Now also circle the word or the phrase, "I was naked." I was naked. What does it mean to be naked? Well, he's talking about more here than just physical nakedness. There's an emotional nakedness too. To be naked means to be exposed. It means to be uncovered. It means to be vulnerable. It means to be authentic. It means you're out in the open. It means you are unprotected. You are never more vulnerable than when you're naked. I mean, it's just all out there. There's nothing to hide. And when we are afraid of nakedness, when we're afraid of vulnerability, when we're afraid of being open, we're afraid of being honest, we're afraid of letting people see us as we really are, my fear of exposure makes me distant. You see, one of your deepest needs is to be loved, but one of your deepest fears is the fear of being seen for what you really are. And you can live with a husband or a wife for 50 years and keep secrets from them because you're afraid that they would not accept that part of your life. Living with somebody doesn't guarantee that they're seeing all of you, because they're not. Now, I want you to notice the damage that fear does to a relationship, because there are three stages, and we see all three of them here in this. The first phase is shame. You might write that down, shame. It's verse 7. Once they disobeyed God, the first thing that entered their relationship was shame. And when you disobey God, shame enters your relationships. It says they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Fear is often based in shame. Now, when you carry shame, you are easily embarrassed. When you carry shame, you fear embarrassment almost more than anything else. And you will do almost anything in your life to avoid embarrassment. That is a symptom that you're carrying unresolved shame in your life. Shame makes me more self-conscious. Shame makes me nervous, more nervous. Shame makes me fearful of being humiliated. And I'm going to avoid that at all costs. Shame means I am easily mortified. Because if you have any of those things in your life, it means there's some shame you haven't given to God and let him take it away in your life. Phase one is they felt shame. Phase two is the cover-up. The cover-up. And what happens is when we feel ashamed, we try to conceal who we really are, our true selves. Verse 7b says, so they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves up, or to cover up themselves. Now, if you've ever seen a fig leaf, they're not very big. Some of us, it'd take a lot of fig leaves to cover us.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, you know, the world is shouting for our attention with answers to our relationship struggles, solutions to our financial troubles, and explanations to our search for meaning. But the world's promises leave us empty and searching for more. God's Word contains the only answers that promise to transform your life from the inside out. That's why Pastor Rick has put together the Transformed Study Kit, which includes a vegan leather-bound interactive workbook and a 7-video session DVD. These video sessions can be used independently or with a small group of friends. This kit will help uncover key biblical principles that will completely transform your life in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. We'll send you the Transformed Study Kit as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. To get your copy of this great resource, go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell us how God is using this ministry to change lives.
Here's a letter from Catherine, a listener who says that hearing the truth of the Bible on Daily Hope transformed her life. She wrote me this. She said, Pastor Rick, a few months ago, I was angry all the time about everything. My husband was drinking too much, and my marriage was headed for divorce. Years ago, I'd forgotten about my faith. But one day, on my long drive home from work, I changed the station from my angry music, and I found you speaking on Daily Hope on the radio. You know, it was as if, through you, Jesus said, oh, you're finally listening, and I have something to tell you. Well, your message spoke directly to me, to my problems, and to my many failures. And you spoke some hard truths, Pastor Rick, that I needed to hear about the things that I was doing wrong and the things that I wasn't doing at all. But it made me look at myself, and I realized that I had forgotten about Jesus. And I was making myself miserable, trying to do everything on my own. I wasn't trusting in God or seeking God or even a relationship with Jesus. But a few days later,
after a lot of inward reflection, I shared your words with my husband. You know what? We're now both reading our Bibles again. We're going to church again. We're mending our relationship with each other and with Christ, our Savior. And it is your Daily Hope program that changed our lives and the direction of our lives. Now I'm listening to you on my way home from work every day. So thanks for allowing yourself to be a vessel through which God can work to restore lives and marriages. I was hopeless, but now I'm full of hope and full of joy through my faith in Jesus. So God bless you, Rick, for bringing me back to God. Friends, you may have heard me say this before, that I am addicted to change lives. I am passionate about watching God at work in your life and giving people hope when everything else seems hopeless. It's why we do what we do. Catherine and her husband have now mended their relationship, and they're both reading their Bibles. That is incredible news. The family that prays together stays together. None of this, by the way, would be possible without your support of Daily Hope. It is your gifts, your financial gifts, and your prayers that allow me to teach millions of people every day all around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, as you just heard, people are being saved, lives are being changed, marriages are being restored, people are finding hope. Why? Because of you and your financial gifts and your prayers. So thank you, everybody, for your caring about others and their relationship with God. And if you can send a gift today, please do so. We want to reach more and more people with the hope of God's Word. You know, if God is blessing you through Daily Hope, would you share your story with me? Write me, rick@pastorrick.com.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.